on the Rebel Sports Network from Learfield, live from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino. Welcome to the Marvin Menzies Radio Show, presented by Fenley Toyota. Also brought to you by Fenley Chevrolet is your home for woo! Located on the 215 Beltway between Rainbow and Jones. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Cofield, Robert Smith, and John Sandler.
We're at Bailiwick here at the Orleans Hotel Casino, our last show for 2018. The Marvin Menzies Radio Show as the Runner Rebels finish non-conference play and get ready for Mountain West Conference play to begin next week, a week from yesterday. The Rebels taking on Colorado State at the Thomas & Mack. First game back in the Thomas & Mack in over a month. It's the longest stretch that I've been a part of, Robert, you too.
By far the longest.
Since we've been going through the rodeo road trip, and it will be very, very nice to get back home. John Sandler with you, along with Robert Smith. We've got Coach Marvin Menzies. Bring him in just a second. We're going to talk to Chris Clyburn as well a little bit later on in the show, and touch on Hawaii a little bit, talk kind of put the bow on that, and then really start focusing on the next part of the season, because as Coach has said, it's kind of 0-0. Now let's bring in Coach Marvin Menzies. And Coach, Hawaii got off to a good start, didn't finish well, and I know it was disappointing and frustrating for you, for the staff, and for the guys.
It was. You know, this is always a challenging time when you got to go through a stretch where you're not playing your best basketball, and this stretch was over a three-day period, so it kind of concentrated it a little bit. You know, and I thought that the guys went down with great focus and handled a really capable Hawaii team on their floor, did a great job that night, played free, shot the ball well, had our legs, looked fresh and ready to roll. And then very next night, I thought got off to a slow start, but then they clawed and scrapped and, you know, tried to do everything they could there to get us into a situation to win the game. But then they had a big-time player. I think Kit Barnes hit a big three there to to kind of seal it. And then you go into the third game after a day off, a day prep, and, you know, the dam kind of broke that last day. We looked at the film actually right after the game and went through, and all the guys were kind of like just shaking their head on the kind of mistakes we were making that we had talked about in the scout and things that we just didn't do that we had been doing pretty well up until that game. Our transition defense, for example, was something that was very suspect that game for a host of reasons. And we talked about some of that. You know, I felt it was good to get that game behind us in reference to leaving it there on Hawaii, letting these guys come back. We gave them a couple of days off the day we got back, which is the 26th in the day, and we'll start back into it tomorrow and start getting ready for conference. But I think at the end of the day, as I've had a little more time to reflect on that trip, I just felt like, you know, if you – when you're writing a script or you're writing a book or you're planning a you know, some type of long-term plan and you have bumps in the road, that's – the one where you got to look at that one right now and say, okay, you know, when this particular season's over, I want to look back on this as a point of reference that we could say, you know, we did the right things from a staff perspective in terms of adjustments. The players kind of looked in the mirror, and we kind of set us off to a really positive tone in terms of our preparation with a brand new slate. I mean, we don't go into conference with 500 record. We go into conference 0-0, and like every other team, you know, all of the conferences records go out the window until later in the year when perhaps your record is leaned on for postseason selection. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't need to worry about that, obviously, with only being 6-6, but we do need to be concerned with, you know, what can be learned from that. And we had a lot of great basketball conversations today with the staff, except for Preston. He's on the road traveling. But and we talked and identified different things and looked at numbers and analytics and had conversations with some of the guys. And, you know, I feel good. I feel good about where we're at in terms of heading into conference, not based obviously on that game, but based on the effects of that game. I think it's all about turning it into a lesson and turning a negative into a positive. So, you know, and all of that being said, Bucknell was really, really good.
Right.
I mean, you can't take anything away from them. As much as we want to say, hey, you know, this, that, and the other, I mean, we just put ourselves out there against a team that was red hot, and that basket got bigger and bigger as the game got going. And we struggled and missed layups from guys that never miss layups. You know, Chris missed a layup, but he makes 999 times out of 1,000. So, you know, sometimes you got to chalk that up and say, okay, that part, I can't coach that, and I know he can make that. So I'm not really worried about that, those kind of shots going forward. But then it was collective. Like, you know, Jonathan's was probably our most athletic big, missed, I don't know, two dunks.
Yes, he did. Right,
point bank at the basket. We had another couple of open court layups that were just right at the basket. I think there were four or five opportunities for and ones, and none of those went in. So there was just a lot of – it was just the perfect storm, as I mentioned after on the post-game interview. So, again, it's you know, thanks for bringing me back to revisit that. I appreciate it. I was all excited when I walked in here to see my people, and now I've been drugged back into misery. But not a serious note. You know, I've been doing this long enough to know how to persevere through adversity and also pass on those lessons to the guys. So I'm optimistic.
Before we completely move on, you talked about leaving it in Hawaii. Can you tell the fans kind of what that means?
Well, leaving it in Hawaii means leaving your record of whatever it was. It could have been 6-6, or it is 6-6, could have been 7-5, it could have been, you know, 8-4, whatever it is or was, that's done. Non-conference is completely over. And in that particular game, that last game in the whole trip of the three games there, you could say, okay, let's assess this here while we're here. There's no cleanup on that game, because we did the cleanup there. We had plenty of time to do it before we left. So we got that out of the way from the technical standpoint, and now we focus in on, okay, what do we need to do to beat our first opponent, which is Colorado State.
The other question I want to ask as we move forward, normally after a game like that, you want to get right back on the court. You want to, you know, you want to play next day, 2 days later, and kind
right.
of, but it sounds like maybe because of the fact that it is, as you say, kind of a new season, slate clean, and a chance to not only recharge batteries and everything, but to make adjustments and to do different things, that maybe this little layoff of a week over the holiday and then leading into conference play is a good thing this time.
Yeah, I do think the timing of it, the way we finished the non-conference, I think the timing of it is probably, hopefully going to be a good thing, because now you have a couple extra days as a staff to really focus in on, you know, where are the tweaks we need to put in. The system is in. The system is good. The system is efficient. We've used it for years and years and years. The young guys are still growing into it and learning. But you can always tweak things. And we practiced on some things that we saved for conference. So we want to see how some of those things work, both offensively and defensively. So we're looking forward to seeing that things that we have practiced, but we haven't really used a lot against other teams, to see where those things unfold as well.
Robert, from a player's perspective, getting over first question, getting over a bad loss,
right.
You know, getting over a loss that you didn't play well in. From an individual standpoint, what are some things you can do?
First of all, look at film, you know, just to kind of go over things that you may have forgotten from the game or whatever. And then from there, you go in to the gym and put in the extra work, you know, because repetition gets you back to where you get your confidence and all of that. So I think having this time off will be good for the guys, you know, to rest the body, to mentally get back into what they want to do. And, you know, I feel that they'll be all right. But, you know, when you look back at the games, I looked at the experience that the last two teams had at the center position, and it showed because, you know, Mbake, you know, he got in foul trouble because those guys knew, you know, how to go against him, how to attack him. And I think he'll learn from it as well, going into conference.
No question.
He'll pick up some experience in those two games and hopefully be able to use them as the season goes.
And that brings up an issue. You mentioned, inexperience at the center position with Mbake, really in his first full season, playing a lot. And, Coach, I know there are some injury issues that are being dealt with, and let's talk about them. First, let's start with Shekna Dembele and his situation and his situation going forward.
Yeah, Shekna's finger, he has an issue with his pinky that's been kind of ongoing, and it's gotten to the point where, a decision has to be made on surgery or not surgery with him. And so that is, I'd say, most probably going to happen. We're going to visit again tomorrow and put closure on that, just for his long term as well. And then also Shakur obviously is the other one who's been not available because of his injury, and I'm pretty sure a decision is going to be made tomorrow. That's his kind of final meeting now that we've got back with the doctors to go over a few more scenarios now. But then also, more importantly, a lot of it is how is he right now and how's he feeling now, and so you got to take that with the medical aspects of it and say, okay, well, with where you're at and with the type of injury, here's what you can kind of project going out. And I would say right now, he's leaning that way, but nothing's going to be official until after he has those final talks.
And just so we all understand the different possibilities, one possibility is trying to play with it. One possibility is rest and therapy and seeing if he can get back at some point. And then a third possibility is done and hoping for a medical redshirt.
Yeah, we're really looking at two now because it's been cleared that he's not going to be able to kind of like rest it and recover.
Got it.
So it's really just the first and the third. And again, we'll know tomorrow. But we're either way, we're going to do what's best for him in the long term and the team as well. But he's obviously his health is the most important thing.
I totally understand and totally agree. But what that does is it takes a senior and an automatic double-double out of your lineup, and you missed it for four games now.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a junior and your number one backup at the five out of your lineup, and a young team somewhere about the 30th youngest team in the country.
Right.
Just automatically shoots straight up the charts on that one and becomes one of the absolute youngest teams in the country, because all of a sudden, when you factor in Jay Green is redshirting and you're looking really at that point at 11 guys, nine of whom are freshmen and sophomores.
Right, and that's obviously that's not what we planned in the beginning. We were hopeful that we would have a healthy Shekna, a healthy Shakur, but the season throws you curveballs. Thank God we have enough depth to have JTT here and Joel and or else Chris and Robert and me and you would be out there trying to play right now.
All taped up.
I got the two.
Chris averaged 40 minutes for the season. But no, it's that's the good thing. The good thing is that, now the bad thing is that, for the immediate outcome, you're looking at a really, really young squad, but that's a catch-22, because you're looking at a young squad that's going to get experience, but you're also looking at a young squad that could hopefully develop in a short amount of time and still bring a lot of success to this season and Chris's and Noah's, senior season.
And you want that for them, and you don't want to discount the season for those two guys, because it's so important for the seniors.
Oh, there's no question. We talk about it all the time. Yeah. Yeah, we're listen, we're 0-0. We lost the last game. I know we all feel bad about it, and everybody has their opinions about it. But I don't think I think we had one bad loss in 12 games, to be honest, which I don't think we had any other losses where you could say it was just a horrible loss. I mean, LMU and the Valparaiso are probably the two closest ones. And, those are respectable teams, and we didn't show up and play our A game. We would have needed our B games those nights, and both those nights we were C. We gave Bucknell, which is a you know, I think a tournament team will probably win the Patriot League. We gave them a seed, you know, effort due to for whatever reasons, and all the, those are all the long list. That's a whole another show to complete, but that's the way that last game unfolded. So, again, when you look back on the whole season, you want to I want to be able to look back now and go, okay, how did I manage this adversity? How did we manage this challenge of having a bad game right before we went to conference? And so I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, how the guys are going to respond on the floor. We're going to be very, you know, we're not going to have a lot of tolerance for not doing the details over the next 4 days of preparation, because we can't, because they have to, you know, they have to do the little things in order for us. We can't have a lot of slippage, because it's just that we don't have the experience to make up for it sometimes. Sometimes we make up for it with our effort. That wasn't tonight, the last game.
Is this the youngest team you've ever had?
Second youngest. I had the 12th youngest team in the country at New Mexico State in my third year, or second or third year. And then the following year, we lost to Michigan State in the NCAA tournament by 3 points. So, you know, it's, again, you look at this season and say, okay, development, 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 and, you know, great character, great kids, still have talent, got to finish around the rim, got to do all those things that I know we're capable of doing. A lot of mistakes that we looked at on the game, on film, right after the game. We were all pointing, and Chris could testify this, we all went around the room and they were like, man, that's my fault. That's, I mean, they held, they, nobody was fighting the film. You can't fight the film, but nobody, but they were all very quick to say, that's on me, coach. You know, that play was on me, and that was, but it was a collective.
Nobody said fake news?
No. So that's why, as a staff, we're not dealing with social misconduct or, you know, nonsense. We're dealing with basketball. And that's when you got a chance, when you can keep it on basketball.
Well, I think it's important, because basketball gets a little bit different starting next week.
No question.
We're going to talk about that when we come back. We'll bring Chris in and let him participate in our little panel up here. John and Robert, Coach Menzies, Chris Clyburn will join us, or join in as well when we come back. I want to remind you that the 2019 Nissan Rogue is one solid defender, like Chris Clyburn. Nissan, proud supporter of college athletics. Back with more on the Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield. Right side Clyburn, the three for Chris from that right side is good. Nice look by Nora Botham to find him, and a great effort by Clyburn to knock it down. Chris Clyburn nailing a three. I believe that was against Hawaii, as the Rebels won a true road game, something you don't play very often in one of those tournaments, and it certainly was. And Rebels did a great job that night. John Sandler, Robert Smith, head coach Marvin Menzies with you on the Marvin Menzies Radio Show here from Bailiwick, getting ready for conference play to begin. A week from yesterday, the Runner Rebels taking on Colorado State, the Rams at the Thomas and Mack, a 7:30 tip. And we'll be on the air at 7 o'clock right here on ESPN Radio 1100, starting with a Runner Rebel warm-up. We now bring in the aforementioned Chris Clyburn, one of the two seniors who are healthy right now, with Shakur being out with his knee issue. And we'll find out, as Coach said, we'll find out what the future might hold this year and for the future for Shakur. But, Chris, really appreciate you coming down, taking some time with us. And I know you and Noah and Shakur, as the seniors on this team, are hoping to have a great season. A little stumble in Hawaii, but you know that, as Coach says, 0-0 conference play starting next week, you get a chance to kind of start over.
Yeah, that's one of the good things about conference. You know, everybody starts 0-0, so you're able to start over, be able to get a new feel for different teams, and you're going to play these teams two or three times, possibly three, but you're going to play them two times at most, and then you're just going to get a better feel for your teammates, be able to work on the things that you need to work on going from non-conference into conference. So that's one of the big things we've been able to do.
One of the things Robert and I talked a lot about at the beginning of the year, as we looked at this team, some of the critical things that had to happen for this version of the Runner Rebels to be successful. And right at the top was Chris Clyburn becoming a more consistent player at both ends of the floor. Defensively, you've always been an outstanding player. It was on the offensive end where some nights were good and some nights weren't, and you've done that. You have become, you're the leading scorer on the Runner Rebels right now. You're one of the main go-to options, whether it's from the perimeter or slashing to the basket. Does that make you feel good that you've made that progress?
Yeah, definitely. No, I feel like I've put in the work, you know, going this whole summer, just working out, being able to be one of the options to be able to help my team win, whatever I can do, you know. Scoring's not really a big thing for me, but if that's something I can do to help my team be able to be successful, then I'll take that.
Chris, I've noticed this year, too, you've been consistent. Even in times where you started slow, you've always stepped up, and that's why I want to ask, do you feel that when things aren't going well, you have to step up and score a little more?
Yeah, most definitely. I feel like my team needs me, you know.
Yeah.
Even when I'm not producing the offensive end, I feel like if I get off to a slow start, I feel like I need to pick it up as much as I can just to give my team a chance to win. That's just one of the things I've been focused on.
Yeah, because I've noticed this year that, you know, if you're going slow, it seems like the team is not really, you know, picking up. But as you pick up, it seems like the team picks up. And I think that's just the energy that you bring to the offensive side of this team.
Yeah, I feel the same. Well, you know, when I'm struggling, I got my teammates right there. Like, in time, right. I was like, come on, man, we need you to get going. Like, that makes me feel good. And I just know that my teammate got my back. And it's just a good feeling to be able to contribute whenever I can. Yeah.
I know you're not a loud guy. You're not a rah-rah guy out there on the court. You let your game kind of speak for you. But especially maybe after a tough game like the Rebels just had and heading into conference play, do you feel the need as a senior, especially with Shakur not there, do you feel the need maybe to speak up a little bit, whether it's in front of the group or individually to some of the young guys to kind of try to help them understand, you know, it's a long season for them and there's some ups and downs. Do you feel the need to kind of talk to them a little bit? Do you do some of that?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, the coach has been getting on me to talk to the young guys. You know, it's a different monster. You go on a conference. You know, you got teams that scouted you about 12 times, many more than that. But you play them twice, and then they're going to know all your tendencies, things you like to do. So that's just being a work on those things, get better. Then you got to talk to the young guys about, because they haven't seen this type of thing. So talk to them, just make sure they're getting better, make sure their head's in the right place. Just like I just tell JTT, like, just certain things on the court that he could do better so he can improve it and work on it, then make us a lot better as a group. So just talking to the young guys just to make them feel better about themselves, you know, especially after this last game. A lot of people probably got down on themselves, but like it's 0-0 now in conference play, so that's one of the main things, just being able to talk to the young guys, and they accept it too. So that's real good.
Well, I mean, you know, last year's team, you know, you had Jordy, who was kind of a leader along with you. This year, looking at the younger guys coming in and some of the sophomores, did you feel within yourself you had to be a leader this year as opposed to more last year?
Yeah, last year it was man, I left it to the seniors, you know.
Right.
But this year, as me as a senior, Noah as a senior, Shakur unfortunately out, but he still leads sometimes, and it's one of the main things that we need to foreplay on this team is make sure our leaders step up and make sure we're leading the guys in the right direction, make sure they know where they're supposed to be, what they're supposed to do, things on the court, off the court, getting in the gym, just things that leadership should do.
You know, young guys have a tendency, and I don't know if you were like this as a freshman or a sophomore, you know, you hear a senior or you hear a coach tell you something, and you get a little bit of, yeah, okay, whatever. But it's so important that these kids understand. I mean, you step into conference play, it's totally different. The level of intensity is different. The level of competitiveness is different. Most games are close. I think I saw a stat that said in Division I conference basketball, something like 70% of the games are decided by 6 points or less.
Yep.
And that's remarkable when you consider, you know, in some leagues where you had 16 teams,
right,
the difference between the number one team and the number 16 team. Yep. But you know the Mountain West, the travel's a pain. Every game's a grind. Some of those arenas are tough to play in. What can you tell the guys to try to shake them and say, hey, guys, you know, I'm not kidding around here. This stuff is a little bit different you're about to get into.
You just gotta let them know, like, play every game like it's the biggest game of your life. Because, like you said, this conference is tough. You know, you never know when you're gonna have a good day. You're never gonna have a bad day. But a lot of teams coming to your place trying to beat you so they can go home with a victory. So we need to have that same mentality going to wherever we go. It could be Air Force, San Jose State. So I feel like we can't just get riled up for just Nevada or San Diego State. Yep. I feel like we gotta be prepared for every game. Just treat it like it's a regular game and then play every game to win.
When you talk to the young guys and you think about the young guys on this team, you mentioned JTT, Joel, Amari is a sophomore. Some of the other young guys on this team. Do you kind of think, I wonder if there's a way if I could come back and get a couple more years to play with these guys? Are you excited for the idea of UNLV basketball and the progress that you see in the future?
Yeah, I'm very excited. You know, just seeing the talent that we have now, like with Shakurao, you got JTT stepping up, Mbake stepping up, you got Joel stepping up big time, and Amari stepping up as well. So I feel like this future for the UNLV program is really bright. You got a lot of players, Bryce as well, Trey. He's starting to get his feel. Once he gets his feel, it's gonna be special. But all these guys, some big time players. So I feel real good about the future of UNLV.
How happy were you? I know the game was miserable, but how happy were you guys for Trey getting his first buckets?
It was very exciting, you know, because he obviously been struggling. So just to see him put the ball in the basket and drive to the basket, some and ones and stuff, it was a big time. We still waiting on his first knockdown three.
Right, yeah.
We know he can shoot it, but we waiting on that. So it's going to be something special for him.
Yeah, we're excited for it too. Tell you what, you stick around for another few minutes. We're gonna take a break, come back. Let's talk about you a little bit. Talk about your plans for the future, not only this year, but as you look past college. We'll get that conversation going when we come back. Fans, remember that the Marvin Menzies Radio Show is brought to you by Dignity Health, where they know no one wants to be in an ER waiting room for long. That's why they offer a service that allows you to wait at home, because healing takes more than medicine. It also takes understanding. Learn more at strosehospitals.org/ER. You are listening to the Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield. To the pack with the ball. Fiber down the right side. Slam dunk!
And he got fouled.
That dunk against Hawaii is one I will remember for quite a while. Chris Clyburn flying through the air. I told you after the game, Chris, that I didn't think you were going to get there, but boy, did you. As you took off, just that momentary flash of mind, like, uh-oh. And then you just kept going, and you got to the rim easily and threw it down. The Rebels' victory over Hawaii earlier last week. John Sandler, Robert Smith, head coach Marvin Menzies, and the aforementioned Chris Clyburn with you. Runner Rebels getting ready for conference play Wednesday night against Colorado State. 7:30 tip will be on the air at 7 o'clock with Runner Rebel warm-up. We're talking to Chris about all sorts of things. You excited to get back into the Thomas and Mack? It's been over a month. Can you believe that?
it's been a long time. You know, it felt good to get in the gym today and be able to be in the Thomas and Mack, getting shots up. But it's been a while. Ready to get back on the home floor.
Is that something that you've learned to do over time as you kind of grown up as a basketball player, how important it is? Yeah, you go to practice and work hard, and yeah, you play hard in the games, but the work on your own, the independent stuff, have you learned to do that more?
Yeah, that's something that a lot of players do a lot, just getting up shots on your own, being able to have that consistency to do it every single day, and even days where you don't feel like doing it, just being able to get in there, get shots up. It don't matter if it's free throws. Just being able to do something to get better every day, because that's just something that a lot of players can be able to do, and then that makes them a better player.
The other thing I you know, throughout my career is I found that getting in the gym kind of takes me away from everything, the stress, the, you know, and gets me back to the mindset that I want to be. Do you find that for yourself as well?
Yeah, most definitely. Even, like, especially after you have a bad game, mm-hmm. as an individual or as a team, you know, getting back in the gym the next day, it's a reliever, you know. It helps you forget about the things, you know. Once you get in the gym, you just feel a lot better.
Yeah.
Coach is coach, don't they, Chris?
24/7.
let's bring Marvin in if he's our coach. You've had Chris around now for a few years, and it, this is a guy we were kind of laughing about. This is a guy who's come out of his shell and is becoming the man that I know you've always wanted him to be and have coached him to be. And I know that's a big deal for you, both because basketball's one thing, but off the court is something even more special.
Yeah, huge deal. He is, anytime you have a kid in your program, a young man in your program that's with you more than a year or two, you obviously, the relationship grows. And so the love and the affinity to want to see the kid do great things, you know, and the zeal for me to want to pass on as much knowledge as I can to help him in his lifelong journey is something that, is why I got into business, to be honest with you. I didn't get into business to be the head coach at UNLV. That's not why I started coaching. I'm happy I have the job. I'm very appreciative and want the seat that I have. Even when it starts to heat up a little bit, it's still the seat I want, you know. But the motivation behind my coaching is exactly for the journey that I've been on, the 3-year journey, 2.5 with Chris. Chris and I will be friends for life. I'll be at his wedding, you know. He'll be at my funeral. it's just that's what you live for. You live for your kids normally, right? And then you, outside of that, I have my extended kids,
right,
which is Chris is one of, and that's what makes life a little bit more rewarding for me, is that I have. You know, you think about how many, if you've got 2 or 3 kids, well, imagine if you've had hundreds that, I mean, I can't tell you how many texts I get on Christmas Day from former players and things like that. And it's just very rewarding to see his growth. And I know that there's going to be much more. And there'll be much more interaction even when he's done playing basketball. He knows that, and I know that. And I know that he's trying to give me everything that I want right now to help us, the Rebels, be successful in his senior campaign. And we talked about his consistency. He's making himself a little uncomfortable because it's not his human nature to be a talker, so to speak, or a leader on the court. That wasn't, you know, his – didn't come natural to him. But he's done more of that, especially in the locker room, I think.
Yeah.
That's where he's impacting the guys at a much higher level than he was maybe in his sophomore year with us. That doesn't show up in the stats, but at the end of the day, it shows up, and that's where Chris is. You know, it's good for him in his life to just understand that level of communication is important in everything that you do, being able to get your point across, but then also, you know, make your opinion count and so forth. And so I think he's learned a lot from us, and I've learned a lot from him too. You know, his consistency and his character and his commitment in the classroom, and you know, he's shown me what a steady Eddie looks like, so to speak. And that's helped me to know how to push him a little bit harder. And I got on him pretty hard after the game, and he responded great. You know, I jumped right down his throat in film, and my senior took it like a man and said, you know what, you're right, coach.
That's good.
And shut me up, because when they say that, it's like, okay, well, let me move on to the next kid.
Next.
Way to go, Chris. Nice going. Way to respond, and way to move coach along. Pride is a big deal for players, and a lot of times that individual pride sometimes might even gets in the way of what the team wants to do. This group needs to have that team pride. They need to be proud of wearing the UNLV on their chest. They need to understand what that means. That's difficult for the young guys sometimes, I think. Conference play coming up. You know, every team that comes in here, every team that you play when you go visit, they're looking at that UNLV and they're thinking, you know, all right, we got a chance to get them. How do you instill that pride in your teammates? And how do you guys as a group develop that pride?
I say, like, just let them know the team that they play for. You know, it's UNLV. You know, a lot of teams in this conference. You got, well, now you got Reno. It's not really too many big-name teams, like, that carries that name like UNLV carries. So a lot of teams want to come in here and play us, beat us on our home floor, beat us at their place. But just for the guys, I say we just, like I said, just play every game like it's the biggest game in life, because every team's going to bring their best game. So if we're not on our game, then that's a game that can slip away from us. So that's one thing we don't want.
your plans after UNLV? Obviously, I would assume, and correct me if I'm wrong, you want to keep playing basketball for a while, whether it's here in the States or overseas. Have you started to think about that at all?
A little bit. I talk to my brother a little bit every once in a while about it, but just seeing where the chips fall, just seeing how everything plans out for the rest of the year, and just taking it by ear, not really focusing on too much, just focusing on the season as of now, but just really just playing everything by ear.
Coach, I know that's something you do with your players, is you talk to them, you know, when it's appropriate, not in the middle of the season, but as you, with your seniors, you work with them, and you know, as you say, they're part of your life, you're part of their life after their collegiate careers are over.
Yeah, there's a lot of conversation that goes into, like I had a conversation today actually with one of the G League teams regarding Jordy, you know, and so that's a half hour conversation because they want to grill you on character and classroom, and you know they have all the film and basketball they want, but they do a pretty in depth background into the young man's character and what kind of, you know, person they'd be bringing into their franchise. So, you know, that happens consistently. You know, there won't be a moment that goes by where, you know, we're not following one of the former players on the web or getting a tweet about a kid who's, you know, just had a great game from his agent or from him or something. So they're very active participants after they're done being Rebels. And in Chris's case, he can play as long as he's healthy and he keeps the work ethic that he has now. He'll have a good long career, much like his brother, you know, Will. And I think that he'll also hopefully make the right decisions while he's playing, which is one of the biggest things that we talk about, is, you know, your money stacking and investing and doing the right things from a financial perspective, but concurrently planning that next step. So whether Chris wants to go into coaching or whether he wants to go into business or whether he wants to, you know, whatever his heart takes him, you know, you actually have to work on those things in the off season too. So there's the education continues throughout, you know, as long as he plays. And so those things we haven't delved into too deep right now with him because the basketball will probably be the first thing. And then the transition into the professional ranks of not being a basketball player but just a life professional, you know, you don't want to wait until you're over and go, hey, okay, I think this is what I want to do.
Right.
Well, you could have had four internships
right.
in the last 4 years and develop relationships with those people. So that's the great thing about Las Vegas is that whatever you want to do in life, you can do here in Vegas.
Yep.
I mean, there's a strip, as everybody thinks it's just a strip, but there's medicine, there's accounting, there's, you know, there's everything there right there on the strip. And then that's not to count the suburbs now when you look at Henderson and Summerlin you know, Southern Highlands and all the rest. There's great communities outside of the strip that provide those opportunities as well. So being a Rebel and having played in Las Vegas is one of the things that I'm hopeful I'll be able to kind of bridge that intersection for Chris after he gets through.
Last question, Christian, you know, and I know basketball is the 99.99% focus, but have you thought at all about what it might be that you want to do if and when, you know, when the basketball career is over? Or is it still too early?
A little too early, but I had a couple of conversations. You know, my dad, he has his own little business as a trainer. He trains kids from ages 4 to 17, 18, whatever it is. And he has a pretty good living, so that's one of the things I was thinking about. But as of now, that's not too many things I really thought, put too much detail in to see what I want to do after basketball's done.
Well, the guy sitting to your left does a little of that too. He works with kids here in Las Vegas. And I'm guessing about the time your career's over, the way Robert's going, he'll just be starting to wind down in his mid-90s.
That'll be Robert's last assist.
Right. There you go.
throw it over to Chris Kleiberg.
Right, that's right.
Well, he has a lot of them stacked up in his career, and I think that would be a good one. Chris, really appreciate you coming by. I know you're anxious to get going in conference play, and I know you'll do a great job getting your teammates ready. And we'll see you over at the Thomas Mack Wednesday night against Colorado State.
All right, thanks for having me.
Appreciate it, Chris. Fans, remember that Findlay Chevrolet is your home for woo! Come by today and see why thousands have made the switch to woo! Finley Chevrolet, located on the 215 Beltway between Rainbow and Jones, Nevada, number one volume Chevrolet dealer. Find new roads. I do not want to know what you guys just said. You're listening to the Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield. Bugs, again in the lane, curls the ball back to Rymo. Oh, nice. Shot blocked by Tomboy. Tomboy, what a play, blocking that shot.
How did he even see that?
Joel Tomboy, one of the outstanding freshmen on this Runner Rebel team, with a spectacular defensive play over in Hawaii. Runner Rebels getting ready for conference play. Colorado State, the first conference opponent next Wednesday. John Sandler, Robert Smith, and head coach Marvin Menzies. You were kind of joking, but kind of not. Chris Clyburn, you know, when he first joined the Rebels as a sophomore, I actually wondered if he could speak. I mean, Chris was quiet.
Man.
I mean, he might have been the quietest player we've ever had.
Right. Well, think about, remember all the plane flights we took, and you know how you speak to some of the players, and Chris would always be like this, like,
yeah, his head down with the hood up.
But it's totally different now, and it's good to see that growth, that experience of going through things like this and watching a kid grow.
Yeah, he's done a great job, and I think, you know, even in the classroom, he was a solid student when he came in, but he's really excelled and done a great job in the classroom as well. So he's set himself up nicely to use basketball instead of being one of those guys that they say, you know, you don't want basketball, use you.
That's right.
So he'll have his degree, and he'll get a chance to play professionally at some level, and then he'll hopefully parlay that into a long, successful career doing something that he loves to do.
Coach, conference play starts, and as we take a look at the conference kind of as a whole heading into the beginning of conference play, I mean, obviously Reno is everything you'd expect them to be, and they've taken care of their business, and they're really, really, really good. Fresno State, I think, has been a bit of a surprise. Maybe Utah State a bit of a surprise on a positive sense. Yeah. But just about everybody else in conference has had a real up and down non-conference schedule, and I think it means that the conference race, I mean, obviously Reno's the class of the conference coming in, but where everything's going to fall out and how things are going to go, I think it's as big an unknown this year as maybe it's been in a long time.
Long time.
Yeah, you normally have that thing peg your top four or five.
Yep. Right, yep. Right.
That's usually the case. Even before I came into the conference as a coach, you kind of knew, okay, these are the guys that – have to just hold serve, because they're going to come in the upper echelon. And now it truly is, based on the non-conference play, it's really, really wide open. You know, I think we were picked?
Six.
So we're picked six, and, you know, that's the middle of the pack. And right now, that's kind of where we are, in the middle of the pack in the non-conference schedule. However, when you go to head-to-head, that's what they're picking you against.
Right.
So we still got some goals in front of us that we've yet to even start to peck away at. I mean, we've got 18 games, and we haven't played one of those yet. So regardless of your last game, the most important game is your next game, and that's the beginning of our 18-game slate that can, you know, hopefully put us in a situation where we could reach one of our goals. And so that's what it comes down to.
Ask you the same question we asked Chris. How do you impart to these babies, these little puppies, that their basketball world's about to change pretty significantly?
Yeah, it's a process. I'll be quite honest with you. There's no way to sugarcoat it. You hope that you've had two or three guys that are on the team and contributing at a pretty high level that they can lean on, like Chris, but then not having Shakur around these last four games and not sure where that's going to go. But, you know, that would be a little bit of a blow if we weren't able to have him in conference play. But we don't have a choice. We just got to keep next man up, you know. You got to go to work. So, you know, I think that the biggest thing is to continue to have it come from the locker room first, and have a player-led type of mentality. Even though Amari's only a sophomore, you know, he's a guy that went through the gamut before. And even Ibaka, even didn't play a lot of minutes, but him having at least been on the bench and contributed some, he's another one that can you know, relate to those other guys on how important these games are to our fans and to our program and to our upside, you know, recruiting. You know, a lot of people are watching us to see how we perform, you know, and up until the very last game, even though our record was only 6-5, I thought we had been performing pretty well. So now you got to take that as a fresh start and another opportunity to show your recruits, to show your fan base, to show yourselves, and to have that pride to go out and play the best basketball you could play. And hopefully the best basketball will equate to a win more times than not.
Well, it gets started on Wednesday against Colorado State.
Yes, it does. And here's the thing, Marvin, I'm sure you're thinking about too, is with this young group, you know you have to teach them, but you also have to motivate them,
you know,
because of the youth. You know, there's not that true professionalism in them yet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a two-edged sword.
Yeah, and I think the good thing about that, Robert, is when you don't have the extra nonsense to worry about,
right?
It's easier, right?
Yeah.
It's easier
when you're right.
If we're not talking about anything but basketball in terms of the motivating uh-huh. side, and you know, helping them to gain some perspective on why this game's important, why getting in the gym's important. Also, you hope that you can recruit to that mm-hmm. a little bit and bring in the kind of guys like Josh Pierre and Ethan as well. Both those guys are. I mean, they're gym rats.
Right.
Like they hit me after the games when we win. They hit me after when we lose. They already feel indoctrinated to a certain degree sign their name on that paper. And they're both having really good seasons as
good.
Well. So Preston's actually out to see Josh right now, supporting him. And, you know, when you add guys and you recruit guys that have that type of mentality, it's easier. That part
is
easier
it
because
is.
They've been watching the journey now for a full year.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, too, you know.
Yep.
Fans, there are so many ways to be satisfied at the Orleans Hotel Casino Experience. Bailiwick, right here, the All-American Pub and Eatery, food and fun. It's what they do. Savor the latest and greatest variety of flavors at the Orleans. One more segment coming up. We'll talk a little specifically about Colorado State and the upcoming schedule for the Runner Rebels in Mountain West Conference play. You're listening to the Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield.
Come.
Back here at Bailiwick, final segment, John Sandler, Robert Smith, head coach Marvin Menzies, Colorado State, the first opponent, coach, 7:30 at the Thomas & Mack next Wednesday. Rams with a new coach, but some familiar faces, always play hard.
Man, they do. They really get after it. You know, they got some key returners, Anthony Bonner and Nick Carbacho, J.D. Page. I mean, they're all really playing good basketball right now. So we'll have our job cut out for us.
Get the young guys ready and get them to understand what conference play is all about. And be happy to be back in the Thomas & Mack. That's it, right?
100%. 100%.
Well, that's going to do it for us here. Our next show, week from tonight, and keep in mind, we'll be every Thursday night on ESPN 1100, except for one day in February. Thanks, Jared. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Robert. Thanks, Coach. This is John Sand. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you next week from the Thomas & Mack.
Inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino, you've been listening to the Marvin Menzies Radio Show, presented by Fenley Toyota. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.